We are going to recite together the answer to the questions that I'm going to read from the Heidelberg Catechism. This is from Lord's Day 14, question and answers 35 through 36. What does it mean that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary? That the eternal Son of God, who is and remains true and eternal God, took to himself, through the working of the Holy Spirit, from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, a truly human nature, so that he might become David's true descendant, like his brothers in every way, except for sin. How does the holy conception and birth of Christ benefit you? He is our mediator, and with his innocence and perfect holiness, he removes from God's sight my sin, mine since I was conceived. We're going to read this morning from a couple of passages of Scripture. First, briefly, just one of the Beatitudes from Matthew, where we read these words, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And then from the as we read these words in Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to have been barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I know this is true of myself, and I suspect it's true of all of you also, that many, many things are impossible for you. I know they are for me. I wish I could fly. Never happens except for in some dreams. You know, then I'm flying. You know, I'm almost looking over everything, and it's wonderful. I can fly. Then I wake up, and it's reality again. I can't fly. I can't walk on water. Why could I suppose if Jesus was there and he invited me and said, "Come over to me on the water," then I could walk because his power would allow me to walk. But I can't walk on water. I can't even swim across most lakes. You know, maybe a little tiny one I could make it across, you know. But I can't even swim across, let alone walk across, because I can't walk on water. And I suspect none of you can either. And then there's really serious things like this. I cannot lead a sinless life. I failed at that many, many decades ago, and I fail at that every day. So I cannot lead a sinless life. It's nothing that I can do. And another thing that I can't do is cover all my sin and shame. I can't do that. No matter what I would do, no matter how I would try, it would never be sufficient to cover it. Never. I cannot defeat death. If I could, I would help a lot of people out, but I can't do that. But here is what Christmas is about. Christmas is about the one who can do all those things. The one who came, took our sin upon himself, paid for everything, defeated death, lives and reigns forever, and he's coming again. Christmas is about what is impossible for us, but what is possible for God alone. Christmas is about impossible acts, things that should boggle our minds when we realize what God has done in Jesus Christ. He's done the impossible. And so we have this story where those words are said, nothing is impossible for God. And the story starts in the sixth month. And if you're wondering, what sixth month? Well, it's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So that's where the story starts. The angel Gabriel had come and visited Zechariah, and now 6 or 7 months later, after she's pregnant, he comes again. He comes again. He's sent again. For Gabriel is the messenger of God. You remember the story last time when we looked at it with Zechariah and how Zechariah said, well, this can't be. You know, we're old and we're barren. She's barren. Can't happen. And he says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to you. Now, you'll notice in this passage, he never goes that way. And he never goes that way because now he has a person who is meek and receptive to what he has to say. And so he doesn't do that. But he's sent from God. He goes to Nazareth. That's a no-place town up near the Sea of Galilee. And he goes to a virgin who's pledged to be married. She's not married yet. She's pledged to be married to Joseph, a man who is a descendant of David. And he goes to this woman called Mary, a very young woman. And he goes to her with his announcement. Now, it's important that he's a descendant of David. I hope you remember when we read that catechism, question and answer. Well, he's a descendant of David. That was necessary so that the Messiah would be in the line of David. It would be the fulfillment of the promise to David that one of his descendants would be on the throne forever and ever. And so this is the message to Mary. And then he comes with this greeting. Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. So he greets her, and he says she's highly favored. And right away, not only the fear of the angel being there, but these words had to be rather befuddling. Why am I highly favored? What does this mean? What does this mean? What does he mean? What does the angel mean when he says, you're highly favored and the Lord is with you? What could this all possibly mean? And so Mary, she's greatly troubled at his words. And she wonders, what kind of greeting is this? What does it mean that I'm highly favored, that the Lord is with me? Again, I think this points to us the fact that she is a meek person. She is receptive to something that is beyond what she could possibly understand and grasp. And so she asks natural questions, and she wonders. She's troubled. I'm highly favored. I'm just a young girl about to be married. I'm not anybody in this world. How can I be highly favored? What does this mean? So she wonders that. What did Gabriel mean? So Gabriel goes on to explain. First thing he says, do not be afraid. I'm sure she was already afraid. Yeah. And it's unusual that there's some word spoken before that one is spoken, because almost always when an angel appears, what the first thing he has to say is, do not be afraid, because that's our natural inclination. I've never met an angel, but everything I read in the scripture, when anybody meets an angel, they're afraid. That's natural, because it's a glorious being reflecting heaven itself. And so people are afraid when angels come. But the angel says, Gabriel says, do not be afraid. You found favor with God. With God. You are to give birth to a son. Now, at this point, Mary can be thinking, well, this is possible. I'm going to give birth to a son. Yeah, that makes some sense. I mean, I'm going to be married. I'm engaged. I'm going to be married. I'm going to have a son. Okay, I understand that. And you must name him Jesus. Well, now that might have started her thinking, because Jesus means Savior, particularly Savior from sin. So she had to be wondering at that point, okay, I'm going to have a son, and I have to name him Jesus? That's a very specific and important name. But even that was not impossible yet. But then he says, he will be called the Son of the Most High. Wait, I'm going to give birth to a son and he's going to be the Son of the Most High? How is that possible? How could it possibly be that my child is going to be the Son of the Most High? And then he says, he'll reign over everything. The throne of his father David forever. Look at the words there. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, we're in the realm of impossibility. She could understand. She could have a child. She could have a son. But then, all of what he adds, how can this be? How can it possibly be? Because Gabriel is saying something that's utterly impossible for Mary or for Joseph. It's simply not possible for a human being to do these things. And so she asks, how can this be? After all, I'm a virgin. How can this be? How can this be? And here's the answer that's very important. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Most High, will make it possible. This child will be born not of flesh, but of God, of the Holy Spirit. That's how it's going to be possible, because God is going to do what's impossible for Mary to do or Joseph to do. He's going to give her a child as a virgin. He's going to do that. He'll be born of God, not of man. And this reveals one of the most amazing truths of all of Scripture, because it's impossible for a virgin to become pregnant. Can't happen. But this is at the very heart of our salvation, because if it were not this way, he would be just another man. But because it is this way, he is Almighty God and man, able to save. Because all sorts of people were born and then became kings, and they couldn't save. They couldn't be Jesus. They couldn't do what this child was going to do. only through the power of the Holy Spirit could this come about, because he must be the sinless Son of God to save us. Here is the great mystery of Christmas. Eternal God took on flesh and became man. Man sinned, man must pay for sin. Man was incapable of paying for sin. But God did what was impossible for man. And so it's not a doctrine that we can put aside. Now, you see, this is a modern thing that's going on, and it has been going on for over a century at least, that, the virgin birth, that's just a myth. You know, that's just a story. Well, if it's just a story, then you and I are not saved. If it's just something that was make us feel good, we're not saved. If it's not reality, we're not saved. If the impossible did not happen, we are not saved. But the impossible did happen. And that's what Gabriel came to announce. Because again and again and again, children were born, but only this child was born of the Holy Spirit to the Virgin Mary. And this is why she is so favored. She's so favored. Mary must not be worshipped, but Mary must be revered as the favored one, the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No other woman in all of creation has been as highly favored as Mary, that she should be the mother of the Savior of all who put their trust in him. Well, I know that Gabriel knew that this had to be an announcement that was way beyond anything she could imagine or fathom. And so he wants to give her some proof, right? It's in the sixth month. There's a foreshadowing there in that little statement there in the sixth month. Now he's going to tell her. And besides that, Elizabeth is pregnant. Now, if you think this is impossible, I want you to know it's not. And I'm going to give you some proof right now. Elizabeth is pregnant. Certainly, Mary knew that Elizabeth wanted a child all these years and could not have them. She was barren. But Elizabeth was only barren in a natural way. But in a supernatural way, she was not, because God gave her a child. God took away her disgrace. And this is the proof that God can do that which is impossible. He'd already done it. Of course, he did it over and over. I mean, you read Scripture, you can find one child after another that should never have been born. Humanly, it was impossible. But with God, all things are possible. For nothing, Gabriel says, is impossible with God. Nothing. And God does what is impossible for us. God makes women pregnant who cannot get pregnant. When all her efforts fail, God can do that, because he can do the impossible. God can make even a virgin pregnant, and he did. God sent Jesus to save us. What we could not do, he did. What was impossible for us was possible for him, and he did it. God made him sinless, even at his birth. Now, you and I are conceived in sin. Now, what does that mean? That means that the moment of our creation in the womb, we're already a sinful being. It's already happened. We're sinful by nature. Not so Jesus Christ. His nature is the nature of God, and God cannot sin. And so by nature, he's the sinless one. God did what's impossible for us so that he could be the perfect Lamb of God. Christmas is the story of God doing the impossible. I know that the world does everything to distract us from that truth. It can even distract us in the church when we do good things. Admittedly, I've been a little distracted this weekend because we have two candlelight services on top of this service. Great. But you know, that can distract us from the truth, because what we can be thinking about is how we're going to perform, what we have to do, when we have to stand up, when we have to do this, when we have to do that. And we forget about the impossible that God has already done. The little things that we do are all possible. But what God has done is impossible. And Christmas is about that. It's about God doing the impossible. And he uses meek people for his purposes. People who are willing to say things like this: I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Now do you see the difference between her and Zechariah? Zechariah was a good man. He was blameless. But when God came with his great good news, he couldn't accept it. It was beyond him to believe it. But Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be just as you said. Let this all come true. She had meekness that allowed her to believe the impossible. And that's what it takes. It takes meekness to believe the impossible that only God can do. And so, she is the woman, the one who is favored by God among all women. No greater favor has been given to any woman, and Mary should always be held in the highest esteem because she is the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we are called to be meek, too, at this time of the year. To receive with meekness this news that God has done the impossible. For if we do not believe that God can do the impossible, then we will never have peace, we'll never have hope, we'll never have joy, and we'll never have love. Because it's only those who believe a God who does the impossible who have those things happen in their heart. He does the impossible in us so that we believe that the one who was sent rescues us from sin and brings us to God himself. We now have a Savior. And his name is Jesus. There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus. And what a name that is. He's Savior, and he lived up to his name completely. Since God, this is getting really to where we're at in life. Since God has already done the impossible, since he's done the greatest thing imaginable by sending his son Jesus Christ to rescue us from sin, he did the impossible. Can he handle everything in your life? The answer is obvious. The person who can do the impossible can handle all the things that are impossible for us, no matter what they are. He's got it. He's the God of the impossible, and he will never fail. He cannot, because he is Almighty God. Luke wants us to know with absolute certainty that nothing is impossible with God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are so thankful that nothing is impossible with you, and you show it again and again and again through the Christmas story. We're thankful that we can come. We can worship you. We know you. You love us. You have redeemed us. And may we be overwhelmed with gratitude in this Christmas season and always that you, our God, have done the impossible for us. And now, as we come to this table in a few moments, may we be nourished with true faith that realizes that the impossible has been done and we are saved. O Lord Jesus, hear us, for we pray in your name. Amen.